God, you are amazing. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, that we can have this abundant, full life. Father, I pray that each day we would step closer into what you have for us, Father. God, we are so thankful that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, I pray that as we look to you and as we walk to you, as we walk to being more like you, that we would have others that would gather around us and encourage us there, that we would build each other up, and that we would sing your glory and your praise in all things. That it won't matter what's going on around us. It won't matter our circumstances. But all that will matter is that you are Lord of our life. Father God, be with us the remainder of the service. Father, I pray that today we would be encouraged, that we would be built up, and that we would know that we are loved. And Father, for these kids as they prepare to go to Sunday school, Father, I pray that you would just bless them, touch them. And Father God, that as Megan leads them in Sunday school, God, that you would just encourage her and bless her for her willingness to serve. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat, and the kids can go with Megan. Thanks to the music team. I'd like to invite Pastor Kevin Swatsky to come up. And would you guys give him a Rosetown Church welcome?
Wow.
Thank you, Kevin. Before I let Kevin talk, there's one thing I forgot to make in the announcements that I won't take up all of his 15 minutes.
That's it. 15, man.
Next week is Mother's Day.
What?
Isn't it?
I hope so.
I hope so. That's what I put down on my calendar. Otherwise, I got to buy two sets of presents. So what we're doing is something special this year for our moms. Is if you're on Facebook, I know Lyle's finally on Facebook. I don't know if you're still on Facebook, Lyle. Kinda. But what I want to do is, Nathan's barely on Facebook. He has an account. But I want to encourage you guys to tag a mom, either your mom or your wife, and just share about why she is special and important to you and why you value her. And this is open to the entire community. We're gonna share it out to our town. They don't have to attend, and we've got a special gift pack for the mom that we're going to have a random winner for. So just to bless a mom. But it also, not just in us giving the gift pack, is going to be a blessing, but it's going to be a blessing for them to hear that you love them, that they're valued, that you cherish them, and that they're important, that they've made a difference. So take a moment and just say thank you to the special mom on Facebook, okay? And find out next week who's the winner. So now I'll invite Kevin. He disappeared on me. I'll invite Kevin. So Kevin, I'll let you introduce yourself a little bit more, but Kevin serves on our district executive here in the province of Saskatchewan. I don't know what your new title is or the new title of the name of the group. It's Church Revitalization. There's not even up there. Church Revitalization something.
Nothing. Something.
Church Services, that's the word I'm looking for. So he's the district executive for Church Services, and he oversees things like Church Revitalization. We do something called Healthy Leader Network, yep, which is for people within our leaderships of our churches to attend, and pastors. And he does a couple other things like pastors' kids retreat and other things of that nature that are just to bless pastors and bless their churches, yeah, and encourage them and build them up. So that's the purpose of his role. So I'm going to let Pastor Kevin talk now.
Thank you. Let's give a Rosetown community welcome to Pastor Dave. Good morning. Okay, everyone stand up. Everyone stand. I want you to turn around, take your hand like this. Okay, turn around like this. Turn around and just touch someone right there and say, good to have you here. Just do that right there. Just say, good to have you here. Be really warm about it too. Like exciting. Like, it's great to have you here. Can we turn on a little bit of the lights just so I can see everyone? I just want to see who's frowning at me. Oh, isn't that warm? Good to see you all this morning. This is my very first time on your new stage here. Now, how long have you had this stage, Pastor Dave?
A year.
A year. So it's my very first time on stage. I came once and I visited you a long, long, long time ago. And I sat over there in the corner. That was in a previous time. And I played my guitar and led some worship with you at that time. So it's good to be back with you this morning on this very special Focus Sunday morning. This is a big, big deal today for us as a church, as a district, for us to celebrate you and to be excited for you as our Focus Church for Saskatchewan. Now, what is Focus Church? Well, Focus Church over there, it really came out of a heart for us as a district to want to come alongside churches. I'm going to explain a little bit more about this morning, but come alongside churches and really celebrate what God wants to do and to kind of help with churches to move ahead in a plan of vitality and a plan of reaching people. Is there anybody here this morning that's new today, that's never been here before? Is anyone here new to this church this morning? Anybody? I want that to change. Do you hear me? I want that to change. I want that to change for every church that we have connection with across this province. Because your story this morning is almost across the province the same story. People don't visit our churches anymore. People are not coming. And if you don't have people who are new that come to your church, guess what happens? The church becomes about itself. And we are working so hard. I'm going to talk to you about that this morning a little bit later on, about what we are as a district trying to do to try to change the story, change the narrative. So when we got going, we started with this thing. I'll get the next slide up there. Annette, we started this thing called Focus Saskatchewan, where we would invite the entire province of Saskatchewan, the entire province, all 65 PAOC churches, to focus in on one church for 6 months. You're that church right now. Oh, come on, you guys. The whole province is focusing on this church. Every week, people are praying for your church across the province. Every week, every Sunday. And they're praying that you guys would be a church that is a reaching, vitalized, exciting, powerful ministry in the community. That this community would weep if this church closed its doors. That's what we're trying to do. For 6 months, you guys started in February, and you're going to be our Focus Church until the end of July this year. But not only are you our focus of attention, focus of our prayer ministry, focus of the province. I posted a little bit of our pastor's page, inviting the church. Remember to pray for you guys today. Even our district pastor, Pastor John, wrote this morning on his prayer to the thing, God, please be with Rosetown community as we celebrate today, this Sunday, being Focus Sunday. So not only do we pray and we focus on you, but we come bearing gifts. Okay, I know that most districts are not in the habit of giving out money. Usually we're coming in and asking for money. But our district, because of this ministry, is actually investing in your church vitalization and renewal plans. And so this morning, I have a check for $5,000 that I want to give to your church on behalf of all the churches of the province as one little act of our investment and our love and our celebrating and supporting of you. I think this is a huge deal. In fact, today, praise God. Oh man, if that can't get you excited. Today, this is the $15,000. Today is a total of $15,000 that we have invested in three churches. First church was in Pilot Butte with Pastor Norm. You know Pastor Norm. Pastor Norm's been hanging out with you. He's part of my team. He's part of the NCD coach. We've done so much in the last 2 years. It's remarkable. And we started with them, and man, that church is just, they're starting the building, a brand new building. They are engaging their community like they've never had before. New people are coming every week. It's exciting what's going on there. Then we went over to Melville, and we've invested $5,000 plus into Melville with Pastor Doug and Naomi as they are serving there. They've been there for a lot of years now. I think 10 plus years of ministry. And so we're praying for them. Naomi is struggling with some physical challenges. She's actually in Yorkton, because what Pastor Dave didn't tell you, that what I'm doing here is all volunteer. I full-time church plant in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. That's my full-time job. I'm planting a church in Yorkton. We've been there with my wife, Rochelle. Welcome, Rochelle. It's very rare that my wife gets to travel with me all that way because we're 4 hours away from you today, that we came to be a part of this service, and our term, I was leading that church. It's a great story of what God's doing in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. But we went over to Melville, and we invested in there, and we walked with them through their NCD process. And then during that process, I got a call from Dave and said, hey, we'd like to be one of the Focus Church churches. And we said, fantastic. Met with your team. When do we meet? I think it was like November last year. And I said, listen, if you guys are going to be a Focus Church, we need you to know what's going to happen. You're going to walk through this vitality process. You're going to have this program. You're going to do this. Are you okay? And they said, we're in. Well, they didn't talk like that, but we got there. We're in. And so I am really glad to fulfill this promise that I've made to your church family today. So I would like the NCD team and your pastor's council, pastor's board, to come on the stage as I want to give you this official handshake. And we're going to take a picture and we're going to post this everywhere because this is a really, really big deal. So NCD team, leadership team, come. Oh, let's thank them this morning. This is your team. Yay. Come on, stand right over beside me, right over here. Come stand right over beside me. Who's coming in? Come on, stand right over here. Okay, so you all know each other. Who is the NCD team? I want the NCD team to be on the left, and the council be on the. I don't know if left or right. I don't know what size is this. What's this side is?
Left.
That's left. Okay, that's left. I haven't met you guys. I talked with you on the phone that one day when we had that phone in call from Saskatoon. I don't know if you remember me, but I really enjoyed it. Really excited for you guys. You guys are the champions of this whole NCD thing. Excited for you. And of course, it's really good to see you guys again. Excellent. Excellent. I promised you I'd be back with this. So praise God. So here, we're going to take a picture. There's your money. Let's celebrate. Hallelujah. Smile, everyone. Thank you, honey. One of them will work. Thank you very much. Again, let's big thanks to the Lord. So not only, because next slide, I'm just going to have you just keep moving along here. Next slide. This poster is on every church's billboard across the province. And so they are there to remind you. They're praying for you throughout the week. I think that's absolutely remarkable. I'm grateful and thankful to the Lord for it. Next slide, if you would. Okay, I'm going to come back to why we're doing all this a little bit later, but let's get to the word this morning, okay? Does that sound right with you? Does that sound okay with you? Praise God, we'll get to the word? Okay. Father God, I'm asking, Lord, that you would speak to us now. I'm grateful, Lord, for this church family that has been here, has invested in this community. Oh God, I pray, Lord, that you would excite us with the gospel and the mission of Jesus in greater ways, Lord. Thank you for Pastor Dave. Thank you for his leadership. Thank you for the NCD team. Thank you for the council. Thank you, God, for those that have gathered this morning. Oh, Holy Spirit, speak to us now, we pray. We need you, Lord, to speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses, the Old Testament great leader, one of the most formidable leaders of the Bible. Next slide. He had a problem, and he didn't know it. Now, if you've ever been a pastor or a leader of anything, you know that problems that happen and conversations that happen behind your back are pretty common. I've been a pastor for over 30 years, and I remember often of conversations that people have around coffee tables and issues and things that are kind of bubbling to the surface, and you as the main leader are absolutely, completely unaware. Oh, it happens all the time. If you've been a part of traditional church, if you've been a part of established church, you know of stories where those conversations that were kind of held in little streams over here became big, big conversations and what takes place. Often you can have big things like church splits take place, or people get very offended, or people leave, or something. Conversations that are happening outside of the proper channels. If you're going to be a wise leader, I was told a long time ago, actually by David Hazard, Pastor David Hazard, who we're praying for, who we love and know. Rochelle and I served with Pastor David at the very beginning of our ministry back in the 90s. Anybody remember the 90s? Remember those days in the 90s? He said, if you don't create a channel for people to talk, they'll create their own. And if you do not allow them to speak in proper channels, the channel they'll create is a very devastating channel. And that's true. You see that with water all the time. If you've got water problems on your property, it's better to create a channel for the water to flow than to let the water do whatever it wants to do, because it will flow. And when it flows, it may make a mess. Moses had a problem. We find it in Numbers chapter 32. If you have your Bible, book of Numbers. It's one of the early books in the Bible. Numbers chapter 32. Now, the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad. Okay, we're going to stop right there. Sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad. Who is Reuben and who is Gad? Do you remember who those guys are? Now, let's just remind ourselves back a little bit before. Sons of Reuben and Gad were young guys who early had a dad. Anybody remember what their dad's name was? How are we doing? Oh, I'm testing you this morning. I'm pulling out some Bible stories from the old time. So, maybe you remember this story. There was a guy who was kind of favored by his dad, and they gave him a coat, and the coat had, you know, colors on it. You know the story? Okay, who was that guy? Remember who that guy was? That was Joseph. And Joseph had some brothers. Remember who his brothers were? There was a whole bunch of brothers. And the brothers were really jealous of Joseph, remember? And so one day Joseph comes walking up in his really nice coat, and they decide they're going to kill him. But there was one of the brothers that said, let's not kill him. Let's just put him into a well and maybe we'll sell him. Do you know what that brother's name was? Ah, yeah, good for you. The brothers Gad and the brother Reuben, they were all part of that family way back there and before the people of Israel got to Egypt. So this is the children of the children of the children. So they were called the Reubenites and the Gadites. So these were the kids. My name is Kevin Sawatsky. I have produced four children with Rochelle. We are Sawatskyites. That doesn't excite you too much. I'm just one Sawatsky in a long line of Sawatskys. And the Reubenites were kids of a long line of kids. And Jacob and Leah were part of the family there that they gave birth to Reuben. The Bible says is that the children of these guys, okay, so they got a long, good Jewish line and lineage. They had an exceedingly large what? Livestock. Livestock in these days, as they mean today, is usually a sign of what? If a guy walks into your church and he's got 5,000 head of cattle, what do you think? He's making some money. In fact, as we were driving out here today and we were seeing the cattle in the fields, we saw, you know what we saw? Come on, what do you think you saw in the fields with all the cattle? Babies, lots and lots of babies. And as we're seeing all the babies, you know what what we saw with all the babies in the field? That is a healthy flock over there. That's not a word. Flock is the wrong one. That's wrong. Okay, a herd, that's the word. Thank you. A mixed metaphor is there. And they had exceedingly, the scripture says, they had exceedingly large number of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, it was a place indeed suitable for livestock. Verse 2, the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben came, spoke to Moses and Eleazar the priest, to the leaders of the congregation, saying, and then they name all these wonderful names in verse 3. Would you want to take them on? You can take them on. You want to take them on? Anybody want to take them on? No? Okay. So let's go on. Number 4. The land has which the Lord conquered before the congregation of Israel is a land for livestock. And we've got livestock. We've got lots and lots of livestock. Verse 5. If we have found favor in your sight, Moses, let this land be given to your servants for a possession, and don't take us across to the Jordan. Seems like a reasonable request. Okay, now this is what has happened. They've been walking along for a while, and then they came to this part of the land. As years ago, people came to this part of the land in Rosetown and said, this would be a nice place for us to have a city right here, a town right here. In fact, I've done a little bit of history on the story of Rosetown and how it came to be called Rosetown. Does anybody know how Rosetown became Rosetown?
It was a family by the name of Rose.
Yes. Excellent. And it became her town. This is Rose's town. You're part of the Roseites. What had happened for them to have this conversation with Moses? There was a conversation happening over here that Moses didn't know about. That they're looking around going, man, you know, let us take and maybe we should stay here for a while. Look at this place. It's gorgeous. The water and the grass. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country. Oh, I'd like to be here and stay here. We have all this cattle. We have all this beautiful land. Let's stay here. Seems like a fair request. But Moses didn't respond well. Next slide. Moses said to the sons of Gad and the sons of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you yourself sit here? Now, why are you discouraging the sons of Israel? Why are you discouraging the sons of Israel from crossing over into the land in which the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them to see the land. Now, what is he talking about here? What is Moses... Moses did not respond very well to this. He responded like, ugh. In my family, we are rather emotional people. And we talk a lot about how to handle our emotions as a family. All of our kids are amped up. They got full out people. And we've talked about as a family this sliding rule of emotion. One being cool, calm, collected. 10... amped out of the roof, you know, just like, boom, okay? Now, how long and when you have family discussions does your family move up the numbers from 1 to 10? Do you start at number 1? Hey, I told you to clean your room. Okay, Mom. 10 minutes later, I told you to clean a room. Now what number are we at now? Maybe 3, maybe 4. Now, eventually, if you've parented for a while, as we parented for a while, you just sort of skip the bottom 6 numbers. What's the use? Because they're not going to listen to us. So you just start at number 7. You come in, and my son, we have one more child living at home. All the rest have left, but we have one more son at home. And he's the last one, okay? And so we've learned through years of parenting that you just sort of skip the lower numbers and just go to number 8 right now. Just go. And he always says, go, whoa, Dad, chill. Why do you have to be amped up right from the beginning, Dad? Well, because... I've been down this road before. I've asked you and your brothers and your sister to clean up their room or whatever the issue is. And I've learned it's just the best time. So we say, let's explore the lower numbers. We say that all the time. Let's just explore the lower. No, that's just not. Moses was not exploring the lower numbers here. He went from what seemed like a reasonable request to right now saying, you guys, you're just like your parents. Just like those horrible people in the past. Did he have a right to be that upset this quickly? Well, he sort of did. He goes on to say that they went up to the valley and they saw the land. They discouraged, verse 9, the sons of Israel, so they did not go into the land the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger burned against them on that day. And he swore, saying, this was God's response to this event, none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old upward shall see the land in which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they did not follow me fully, verse 12, except Caleb and Joshua, who have fully followed the Lord. So the anger of the Lord burned, verse 13, against Israel, and he made them wander, here it is, wander in the wilderness for how many? 40 years. Until a generation of those who had done evil in the sight of the Lord was destroyed. Okay, sometimes we don't read the scriptures with the passion that I think was probably communicated. I bet you Moses was saying it something like this. Do you remember those guys that came back? Remember, we were supposed to go into the promised land. Do you remember? We were supposed to do that. And they came back and they discouraged the entire people. And because of them, for 40 years, we've walked around this place.
40 years I've had to put up with people telling me that I don't need, that I need directions. I'm a guy and I don't take directions. It's not that. I have been told 40 years it's take. I've been waiting for people to die for 40 years.
Why? Because they were given a promise. And the promise was for them to go. And because of that experience, they wandered around. If you're Moses, could you feel like a little bit amped up at that too? You know, when you've had this experience way back over here, they call that transference. Have you ever heard that before, that word transference before? It's when you have maybe a bad experience over here, and then years later, say you run into a person that looks or sounds or feels like that person that maybe did that to you over here, and immediately you find yourself having all these emotional things take place to you, but this person is innocent of it all, and we transfer the emotions from that person to this person. It's something that can actually really, really hurt people. In fact, it's a really important thing that if you've experienced trauma in your life to have good inner healing from that, so that you don't go along literally being a train wreck for the time that you run into somebody or something or a situation that seems like that one way over there. Moses didn't have good counseling. Moses did not have good coaching in his life. And immediately he is risen up in absolute fury about what these guys did. Verse 14 says, now you have risen up in your father's place. He calls them a brood of sinful men. Yeah, are you kind of getting the feeling of this? If you turn away from him and follow him, he will once more abandon all these people and you. Oh, do you see that verse end of 14? Read this with me. And you will. Okay, do you think that's a gentle word? You're going to get a feeling that he's kind of amped here. He's probably at like 9 or 10. You will destroy. How many people do you think are represented by that all these people? How many people do you think are represented by that? Millions. There are a lot of people walking around. And you are going to destroy them all because God is going to wipe us all out and I will not go there. Okay, keep going. So their response to this, they're actually probably very good at this. He said, listen, Moses, listen, just relax, just relax. Is that... No. We would like to build pens here for our livestock and cities for our women and children, but we will arm ourselves for battle, okay? We're not going to leave you. We're going to come with you, and we're going to go with you until the Lord has brought you into your rightful place. Meanwhile, our women and children will live in our fortified cities for protection from the inhabitants of the land, and we won't return to our homes. So that's how committed we are, Moses. We're not going to like come and do this. We're going to stay at this until such a time as the Israelites have received their inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance of that future day because our inheritance is here. And Moses relaxes and agrees to the terms. Problem solved. But there's a big problem with this. Does anybody see the problem with this? The problem seems so small, but you can miss it because not all big problems seem like big problems. So, keep going, slides. So, a couple years ago, the national office, next slide. A couple of years ago, the national office began to track some statistics within the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Statistics are a good thing. They just help, you know, we measure, we all measure. You know, that's one of the things that the NCD process does, is it measures. Your number one measurement that you guys geared yourself was passionate spirituality. Number one, this church loves to worship, and as I was in here today, I was looking for it, because your survey said that that's what you said about yourselves. So I want to see, and I noticed as you were singing, the team worship leading up here, now I do have one question about the song. Ole, ole, ole. Is that not soccer? Is that not what they do in the soccer games? Were you saying ole or were you saying away? Ole? So it was the soccer thing, right? The theme? Yeah. Sort of thing. Okay. Okay, because I know Pastor Dave's a big soccer guy, so I thought to myself, well, yeah, that probably fits. So this church is like totally into soccer. Ole, 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 ole. Come on. No, hey, listen. Now, I will never hear a soccer game again without thinking that was a worship song from Rosetown Church. I'm going to stand and worship and say, ole, 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 ole. Woo! I had no idea that that was a Jesus song. Thank you for sharing that with me today. I learned something huge today. I'm taking that everywhere I go. I'm going to say, you know what Rosetown does? They've taken the chorus from soccer and they worship with it. That's a great church. That's a passionate spirituality church. Love it. I think that was awesome. So they were measuring, and they began to measure from the 1920s. Can you see these statistics? 1920s, that's when we began. And anybody know what happened in the 1920s? Anybody know? What happened in the 1920s? What happened in that period of time? No, the POC didn't happen. What happened? There was a movement of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. Back in Azusa Street, back about 105, 103. The Holy Spirit showed up as it did in the book of Acts. There was a black man by the name of Wilm Seymour. Black, blind, one blinded guy and thing. Way down in Azusa Street. And he was preaching that the power of the Holy Spirit is still for today. And something happened. Out of the blue, the Spirit of God blew in on these people and they began to speak in other tongues and everyone went, what on earth? And they said, this is what the prophet Joel talked about. And then in the last days, sound familiar? Acts 2:4. This is where Pentecost got its start. A few years later, around this time, then Dave's right. The Pentecostal Assemblies of the States, AOG, formed. And PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, sort of began to form too, because all these churches were, people were being filled with the Holy Spirit and they're planting churches and filled with the Holy Spirit and they're planting churches and filled with the Holy Spirit and they're planting churches. And so they began tracking. Track. Okay, so here we are. Well, moving along here, 1950, we kind of bumped at about 600 churches. That's pretty incredible. Okay, from 1920 to 1945, somewhere in there. Anybody know what happened around 45? What happened? 1945. What war? Second World War. Guess what people were doing during the Second World War? They were in churches worshiping and begging God for help. War ends, people not so much going to church. That's our statistics. But then look what happened from about 1950 to about 1990. We go from zero churches to 600 churches, and then from 600 churches to way over here, we go to 1,000 churches. 1,000 churches! The Pentecostal Assemblies can went from zero to 1,000 in just a few years. Isn't that unbelievable? How come? Because the Holy Spirit was speaking and calling us and inviting us, and people were being filled with the Holy Spirit and saying, I got to talk to someone about Jesus. And they would go and say, you need to experience the power of God that I've experienced. And people were getting saved, churches planted, saved, planted, baptism. That's our history. But then something happened. Go to the next slide. We became a denomination mostly of smaller churches. This, you can't see this very well, sorry. It says under 50. There's 41% of our churches are under 50. And only a sliver of churches are over 1,000, 2% of the entire family. They began to look at these numbers. If you are a church that's under 50, you are in the vast majority of churches in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Woo! That's true. Okay, next one. Church size by community. They were looking at these statistics. It was interesting. Next slide. Average attendance and population in Canada. This is an interesting statistic. So this line right here is the attendance of Canada. What do you notice about, not the attendance, the population in Canada. What do you notice about the population in Canada? It's growing. We know this here in our province. Our province has now passed 1.3 million people. When I moved here in 2002, we were just struggling about 900 and some thousand. Now we're crossed over 1 million people. It's quite amazing how we as a province are growing. Canada is growing, remarkably growing. and our churches were growing. This 1946, the population of Canada and the amount of churches planted in was the closest it was. 1946, we were close. But we've never been that close ever since. In fact, we moved along. Back here in about 2004, you see this number. That was the amount of people that were coming to a Pentecostal church in Canada. And since then, what did they notice? What did they notice? They noticed that the line is not going up. This line, the population in Canada, is, but the attendance of people coming to sit in our ministries. Remember I asked you, who's new here this morning? This is the statistic that shows us that not many new people are coming to our church anymore. And they began to be alarmed by this. Keep going. Next slide. This is an interesting slide. Because this shows us that from 1920 to about 1999, we were a growing, flourishing group of people. But since 1990 to 2014, what do you notice about our growth as a family? It stopped. Next slide. This shows us a trend on how many people have committed their life to Christ. Back in 2003, when we filled out a survey, 22,000 people that we knew in our churches were coming to Jesus. 2003. 22,000 people came to Christ. Maybe some of you came to Christ in that period of time, back in the early 2000s. But as they did this survey on 2013, guess what number we're at? About 10,000 people less. Is Canada growing? Come on, talk to me. Is Canada growing? Canada's growing. But the trend is that less and less people are coming to Jesus within our family. So in response to that, next slide, the national office put out some statistics. What's 43 and 31? 43 and 31, what is it? 74. 74% of churches within Canada that attend the POC church, that are, say, we're a POC family, are in plateaued or in decline. And of those churches that are actually growing, okay, only 17% of the remaining churches, what's the remaining number? So of 74, let's just make it 75. So of the 25 that are growing, of the 25, only 17% of those are growing because people are coming from, hey, we're cleaning out the Baptists. Woo! Hallelujah. The Alliance Church coming over to our churches. Yeah! Fantastic. We're getting the Mennonites. They're coming to our churches. Woo! We're growing. 17% by transfer. That's what transfer means, is that we take them from another church. But of that, nationally, 12% of the 25, okay, you follow me? So of the 25 churches that are growing, 12% of those 25 are growing because people are getting saved. But we're doing better in Saskatchewan, right? Oh, I like it. Optimism. Next slide. Oh, this is from 2017, and 2018 was pretty much the same. 2017, 5 and 3, how much is that? 80 what? 82 of our churches, 82% of our 64 churches are in plateau or in decline. Can I tell you that your statistics say that that's you? That's you. You guys, I looked at your statistics from last year and the year before. When was the last time you had a water baptism here? Can anybody remember? You see, that's the challenge, right? And I'm not pulling you out and saying, oh, look at you, shame on you. No. This is across the board in every nation or in every denomination across Canada. I'm telling you these facts because this is our hour. This is our time. These are our stories. These are our statistics. And we need to own them. They're ours. And of the last, oh, by the way, we lead the country in plateaued and declined churches. our province of Saskatchewan leads the country. We got the highest amount. Woohoo! Yay, Saskatchewan! And of the last, okay, what's this is 80 what? 82? So what's 82 minus 100? So that's what? That's 18? Of the 18% of the churches in the province, okay, now when you start thinking of the numbers, they're getting small, right? 18%, of those 18%, do you see how many are actually coming to Christ because people are getting saved? What does this news do to you? To these guys, they develop this pattern. Go next slide, if you next slide for me. They develop this thing. This is Pastor John's statistics, Pastor John District. He said that these are the amount of people in 2014 that attended a Pentecostal church in Saskatchewan. We were 0.44. Remember, John had a thing called 0.44 no more. He had this thing for a while. But then in 2017, we were actually at 0.38. So our statistics are echoing with what we have learned. And these John statistics were not from our own rendering. It was from another source that he had. Next slide. So the national office. Next slide. Next slide. Next slide. There we go. National office instituted a thing called the 2020 vision to help churches with the vitalization, because we are disturbed by these numbers. But you know, you look at the numbers, you think, well, the money's still good. Do you know what PAOC churches across Canada gave to international missions last year, 2017? Do you want to have an idea of the money that came out of Canada that went to help our missionaries across the world? It was $43 million U.S. Isn't that phenomenal? If you look at those numbers, you think, well, we got no problems. It's okay. Things are all right. We're able to. I think that's remarkable. Did I say 43? I meant to say 32. It was about 45 million Canadian left Canada to go overseas. And we are feeding kids, and we are helping families, and we are planting ministries all across the world. Glory to God through the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada that is doing global work. Hallelujah. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It's really amazing. So if you look at the numbers, as I said, as Moses said, you know, the problem just doesn't seem like it's the problem. But here's the problem with the story with the guys from the Reubenites and the Gadites. Anybody know what the problem was with them? The problem was this. Okay, you ready? Write it down. Here it is. Here's the big picture. Write it down. Here it comes. The problem is that the land of Jazir was not what they were called. It's not where they were called to go. The Reubenites and the Gadites were not called to stay in the land. Where was it they were called to go? They were called to go into the promised land. In fact, the story is, if you remember, that God said to them years before that there would be a cloud that would, the presence of God would be over the tent. You know the story? And that when the cloud of God, which represented the presence of God, would move, they would move. They could be in a place a week, a year, a month. Now, could you imagine being there for a full year? You set up a little bit of a house. You know, you get your tent area looked after. Maybe plant some grass. Put in the big screen TV. All looks good. I just got the internet connected. And the cloud moves. What? Then you have to pack everything all up, put it all back together, and follow the cloud. The cloud stops. Fantastic. So you set up your thing. Oh, this place is not nearly as nice as the last place. You clean it all up again and move the stuff around, be there for a couple of months, and all of a sudden the cloud moves. Great. Now you pack everyone up, and they did this for how many years? Oh, my goodness. I've moved a couple of times in my life. I hate moving. I hate it. I just hate it. Because you have to go through all the stuff that you were going to go through one day. You're going to clean up that pile that you... And so if you've done like I've done, maybe you have not moved around too much. Maybe some of you are just like, I was born here. I've been on the same acreage since I was, you know, a baby, and I'm going to die there. Well, oh man, I can't imagine what it'd be like to move you. Could you imagine? And they come to this place, and it looks beautiful, it looks fantastic, and they say, we want to stay here. But the call of God with them was to do what? When the cloud moved, when the Spirit of God moved. Are you listening to me? When the Spirit of God moved, they were to follow. We're Spirit people. We're Pentecostal people. We're people of the Spirit. We find our home in the book of Acts chapter 2, that when the Spirit showed up, they immediately began to do what the Moses people did, is that they followed the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit took them, they followed. They didn't go, oh, fantastic, we've got the Spirit. How fantastic. Let's set up the big TV. Let's just enjoy the spot. Do you know that they never ever came back to the upper room? They never came back. They met Jesus in the upper room and they followed the Spirit where? First of all, into the street. How many people got saved? 3,000 people got saved. Then where did they go from there? They went to another place. People got saved. Then they were in Acts 13. They're sitting there praying, saying, God, oh, we love you. How can we serve? And the Holy Spirit moved and said, I want to set aside these two guys, and they're going to be missionaries for me. And then the Holy Spirit saved some more people. And then they went on a trip and they came back. And then they said, the Holy Spirit is calling us to go someplace else. And the whole book of Acts is the story of the Holy Spirit moving and people following. And that's our story. That's our story. That's our history. Why did we go from zero churches to 1,000 churches in just a few years? Because the Holy Spirit, are you listening to me? Because the Holy Spirit was moving and people were following. And they were planting churches and they were seeing people saved. And you know, a church when they got built, you know what the main thing was a church when you got built? You know what you did? You put in almost first? A baptismal tank. That's where you did, because you knew that you had to have a pretty much of a permanent baptismal tank because it was too difficult to every week setting up baptismal tanks. So let's just set up, because they knew they would what? Need it. I was at a church just a few weeks ago in Montreal, just outside of Toronto. And I walked in this beautiful building, beautiful place. And the focal point behind the pulpit and everything, you know what was sitting there? The baptismal. And I stood at the baptismal. And my first question was, I wonder when the last time this thing was used. And the pastor said to me, we had a baptism last Sunday. I went, what? Oh, I'll tell you, we baptized 10 people this year. People are coming to Christ all over the place. It's absolutely, our church is so on fire with the gospel of Jesus. People are getting saved all over the place. And we are using this baptismal tank more than we've used it in the last 100 years. And I go, oh, it wasn't a POC church, by the way. Because that's not our story. Our story is that we don't use baptismal tanks too much anymore because not many people are coming to Christ. That's our story. I'm not saying this about you. That's our story. What was the problem with this story in Moses' time? Those people were not called to stay in the land of Jazir. Those people were called to go across the river as the Spirit led them. And it is our responsibility as Pentecostal people in Canada to follow the Spirit wherever the Spirit leads us. Are we Pentecostal people? Do we care about the Spirit's leading? We do. That's who we are. We've been mocked for it. We've been made fun of it. Oh, you guys are the charismatic holy rollers. You ran from the jail. All we were trying to do was respond to what the Spirit was saying to us. That's all we were trying to do. And yet there has been a great calming that's come across the body of Christ where we have said, you know, maybe we shouldn't take this so seriously. You know, maybe we should just slow down. Maybe we should just build the houses and stay there. Hey, we're not giving up on the mission. We're into it. You know, it's not too bad. We'll still come along with you. But we're just not, you know, into following the cloud really anymore. What do you think happened to the generation of children that were no longer being told by their parents, okay, come with me. The cloud moves, we move. The cloud moves, we move. The cloud moves, me move. Remember what they said to them? We will leave our wives and our kids in the land and we'll go alone until we come back. Those kids would have known nothing about following what? The Spirit's moving. They knew nothing of it. And you know what happens to children who do not see the Spirit moving? They begin to have passions for things that are not the Spirit. They begin to care about the the roof and the walls and the farm and the acreage and the people around them and the culture and being cool and writing the right clothes and being gender neutral and all the things that, that the kids today are often concerned with it because somehow we've stopped following. Are you hearing my call? Are you hearing it? Somehow we've stopped following the cloud. And the numbers are representing it. I don't put the numbers up there because I'm proud of them. I'm embarrassed of them. But it is a call to us in these days like never before to say, let us repent. Let us be about what we're about. What is our purpose? What do we exist for? We exist to see people come to Jesus. We exist that people not only come to Jesus, but we exist for all those that are not here today. Oh, it's good that we're here. It's good that we can celebrate and know each other and pray for each other. It's wonderful. Enjoy the presence of God. But that presence of God should be calling us to those that Jesus loves desperately, who died for, who are not here this morning. I got here today. I walked in across the street, and I just took a view of your community. And I saw the people walking around the community. Over here, houses, people raking their lawn, doing stuff. Not here. Not coming to church. Why? Because for some reason, what's going on over there is not connecting with here. For them, whatever it is, I don't know why. That's why we're doing NCD. That's why the district has spent close to $1,000 trying to equip and help and develop the church family. Why? Because we want us to be about what we're about, which is about seeing what's the thing? What's the plan? What's the whole purpose? Natural church growth development. What's the purpose? To see people come to Jesus, that the bucket gets filled. That people come to Christ, that people come to Christ, that people come to Christ. We disciple. Because if my Bible says that Jesus said before he left, go therefore and make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. We're still a disciple-making ministry. And we're still people called by the Holy Spirit to go into the world and see disciples come to Jesus. That's why we exist. I know I'm coming across hard, and I don't mean to be, and I apologize, but I feel this, because for the last 2 years, I've spent hours upon hours upon hours going to churches, and I have met with pastors, and I've held held development studies, and I've spent thousands and thousands of dollars that have come into the district office to sit with pastors and sit with congregations who are not growing, and they're unconcerned by it. And they're trying to deal more with trying to keep the lights on and keep the building closed and keep the building from shutting and making sure everyone's looked after. And they're not concerned about the mission that Jesus has called us. And I walk away from church after church, week after week, going, God, where is your Spirit's calling upon our churches? Where's our people that are hungry to see those that are far come close? And will do anything to keep following the cloud. Whatever it costs. Whatever it takes, we want to see people come to Jesus. Whatever, you hear me? whatever. God, I'm all in. I'm all in. You know what I'm talking to you about today? I'm talking to you today about what Holy Spirit is calling our churches across Canada. I'm hearing this in every denomination, every province, every district office. I'm hearing them saying the same thing. We want to be about people meeting Jesus again. We want to see a growth. We're willing to go through whatever it takes. We're willing to do whatever it takes so that people come to Jesus. It's exciting. And if you don't believe that's the Holy Spirit, wow. I'm gathering in meetings across Canada with denominations from Anglican all the way to Charismatics, and they're all in the room, and they're all asking God to do one thing. You know what that is? Lord, will people come to you? Will your Spirit be poured out upon us? Oh God, when I'm hearing that Anglican churches are closing churches for about 10 months and then relaunching with Alpha as their Sunday morning service, I'm thinking, what is the Holy Spirit up to? Anglican churches, closing and opening with Alpha. Can you imagine that? We're going to shut down Grosstown Community Church for a whole year. Just stay at home. And in a year from now, we're going to gather together, and we're starting with Alpha. And we're going to invite everybody. In the next year, we're just going to pray and fast. We're going to meet our neighbors. We're going to spend time with neighbors, and we're going to bring them to Alpha in a year. I'm not telling you to do that, okay? Just so you know. You know, Kevin's a district office guy. He's come and he told us to shut our church down for a year and blah, blah, blah. I could go on for quite a while because the statistics are all over the place. So I want to say to you, it's our calling to follow the cloud. That's our call, to follow the cloud. Okay, next slide. Next slide. I jumped over all this stuff. Sorry, just keep going. This is my proof. Isn't that a nice picture? That's the cloud they're supposed to follow. Okay, keep going. Keep going. So what happens to the Reubenites and Gadites? What happens to them? Because this is what happened. They stayed. The rest of them crossed over. Who led them across to Jordan? Yeah, Joshua. Where do we read the story? The book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Have I not commanded you, says the Lord? Be strong and courageous for whatever step you go. I'm going to be with you. Go and lead these people across the Jordan. Because they were now to be doing what the Holy Spirit had called them to do. What the Spirit said, we go, you follow. That's what they did. But not the Reubenites and Gadites. They came back. In fact, we read a story about them in the book of Luke chapter 8. Book of Luke chapter 8. It's not up there. It's not. I don't have a slide for it. I should have put a slide up. Luke chapter 8. I'm concluding. So if you want to come play your guitar, that'd be awesome. I'm concluding. And Luke chapter 8. So Jesus is on the water. Okay, he comes across. And Luke chapter 8 verse 26 is that they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes. Sailed to the region of the Gerasenes. Which was across the lake from Galilee. And Jesus stepped ashore, and when they were stepped ashore, who was the person that approached them? A man who was demon-possessed. And he was so demon-possessed that he lived where? In a tomb. And they tried to bind him with chains, but they couldn't do it. And he broke the chains, and the demon had driven him. He was so strong. And when Jesus showed up, this demon-possessed man came to Jesus, and Jesus said to him, what is your name? And the man who said, Legion, for we are many. So there was a bunch of pigs. And Jesus told the demons to leave them and go into the pigs. And the pigs took and ran over the thing and died. Do you know what this land is? This is the land of the Reubenites. This is the land of Jazir. That's the land. The Gadites. See, the Gerasenes, if you have it in another text, it says the Gadarenes, which is the land of Gad. So here we have, years later, isn't this a cool twist of the story? So years later, Jesus shows up to his people in the land that they weren't supposed to be. And he runs into pigs, which if you're a Jewish person, you shouldn't have. He runs into a man filled with demons. And when the servant of God, when Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, I want you to read this verse. I should have put it up. When those tending the pigs, this is verse 34, saw what had happened, they ran off and they reported to the town, and the people went out to see what happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man on whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Not rejoicing. Look at this. This demon possessed man. Praise be to God. They were afraid. And those who had seen it told the people how the demon possessed man had been cured. And all the people of the region came out to Jesus and they asked him to leave. So Jesus got in the boat and he left. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob walked into their land and they told him to leave. And he got in the boat and he left. Does that not just drive you crazy? And how do they do it? Just a little mission drift. Just a little bit off topic. We just won't follow the cloud anymore. And eventually the Lord shows up and they don't even want him there anymore. I want us to be a Holy Spirit driven church. I want you to be following Jesus because Jesus loves the lost. Jesus loves those that are far. And Jesus has equipped his church by his Spirit to be his instruments to see people who are far from Jesus come to Jesus. That's his purpose and his drive. For every person of every age, that is your why. If you are wondering, well, why is Pastor Kevin here this morning? Why is he giving us $5,000? Why is he walking through this NCD thing? Why is Pastor Norm come all the way here? This is our why. Because the next time I come and I stand up and I say, good morning, is anybody new here? And half the church stands up. Do you want that? Because that Holy Spirit wants that. That's what the Holy Spirit is calling us to. And I'm inviting you. I'm asking you. Do your work. Do the work. Come up with the ideas. Come up with the plans. Break everything down that doesn't need to be up if it's not seeing people come to Jesus. Evaluate everything. Do everything you can. And we're going to help. We're going to invest in you. We're going to be excited for you. We're going to continue to pray for you. In fact, you're going to give us a list soon. And we're going to publish it to the district saying, this is their action plan. This is what they're going to be doing to reach their community even in a greater way than they are now. I'm not saying you're not doing anything. I'm not saying that. But there's more people, because you know what I see in this building this morning? I see lots of these. Lots of empty seats. And I believe that you have these seats here not for decoration. I believe you bought these seats for what reason? For people to sit in them and to worship and to enjoy the fellowship of your family and to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to be equipped to be disciplers of those that are not yet saved. So I can't wait for the list. Do you hear my heart? This is the heart of our district. I'm excited for these next couple of days. I'm excited for them because we have got lots to celebrate and we got lots of work to do. So come on, everybody, put your fist in the middle. One, two, three, come on. One, two, let us do this. Come on, we're about souls. We're about following the cloud. We're about following the Spirit. Come on, let's do it, come on. You hear me? That's my heart. So I'm gonna ask you to stand with me. And while they're gonna sing quietly in the background, I'll lead you in a couple of things. First of all, I wanna say to you personally, maybe you stopped following the cloud in yourself personally. Maybe you're no longer pursuing the Holy Spirit anymore. Just everyone close your eyes. If you want to raise your hands for the moment, this is Holy Spirit time. Spirit is speaking to you right now. The Lord is saying to you, you become more concerned about your house, about your TV, about your retirement. You become more concerned about your safety and your comfort than about reaching those that are lost. And the Holy Spirit would say to you today, I'm inviting you onto a spectacular mission. Would you say yes to the Lord? Would you say to the Lord, God, forgive me? Lord, when I've gone off, Lord, when I've taken the straight, God, when I fall, Lord, I'm not following the cloud anymore. I know it, I know it, I know it. Lord, would you forgive me? Say to the Lord, you talk to the Lord in your own way. This is just time as he sings, beautiful Savior, come to the altar. Lord, we just invite you now. Do your work. Go ahead, sing, keep saying. Lord Jesus, speak to us personally now. We want to be people who follow you. We want to be people who follow you, Lord. We want to be people who follow you, Lord. We want to be Spirit-driven people, Spirit-led people. Follow the cloud wherever it goes. Lord, forgive us for getting content. Lord, forgive us. 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 Now, okay, second prayer. My second prayer. Lord, now speak to us as a church. Lord, as a church organization. God, for the church in Canada, would you pray with me? Lord, for the church of Canada, we say sorry. We repent, Lord, for the comfort that our churches have become across the country. That people who gather our churches come to a nice show, but they don't meet Jesus and they don't get saved. Lord, we pray that you would change that in Canada. Would you pray with me? Lord, we pray that you would change that in Saskatchewan. Would you pray with me? Would you pray for our province right now? Every church vitalized, every church on mission, every church following the cloud, every church, every church, every church. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Lord, that's our desire. Lord, help us to do what we can to see every church, every denomination. This is not the Pentecostal assemblies. This is the people of God in Canada and in Saskatchewan. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help us. Third thing I'm going to ask you to pray for. Lord, we pray for Rosetown. Would you pray with me? Would you just lift your hands and say, God, please, I bless this town. Lord, I pray. Would you pray with me? Just lift your voice if you would. Lord, I pray. Would you please see people that are far from you come close? For the neighbors around this community, for the neighbors across the street from the church who are not connected with us, God, may we figure out ways how to reach them for the gospel. Lord, I've lived in communities for a long time. I know it's difficult. And God, maybe we need to go to our neighbors and say, you know, I'm sorry for not acting like a Christian. I'm sorry. I'm not acting the way I should. I'm sorry. Lord, whatever it takes for us to see people come to you, Lord, may Rosetown Community Church be about the gospel, we pray. Can you agree with me in that? Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We want to be about the gospel in a greater way. We want to see people far from you come close. We ask this, Lord. We ask this, Lord. We ask this, Lord. Okay. I want you to look at me one more time. Look at me one more time. People tell me that I'm an inspiring speaker. I get that a lot. Wow, Kevin, you inspired us this morning. And you know what? Inspired people rarely are transformed people. I do not want to be an inspiring speaker. I don't want you to get all jazzed up and juiced up and excited about, wow, Kevin, wow, that's a great inspiring sermon this morning. I don't want that. I want the Spirit to speak to you. And with your leadership team and your NCD team and Pastor Dave, who I think is a great leader for your church. I just want you to know, I think he's a great leader for your church. This guy is able to lead. You know how I feel about your leadership. And I am for you guys, and I'm for your pastor, and I'm for your leadership team. But I don't want you to be inspired. I want you to say, this is our end game. That was a reference, a cultural reference right there. I tried to work that in all morning. I was trying to figure out how I was going to work that one in. This is it. Thanos is knocking on. Okay? Don't be inspired. Let us be transformed. All right. Okay, we're done? We're done? Now, I kept you way longer than what Pastor Dave ever came to speak, but...